Please turn to Psalm. We're going to stay in Psalm for a little bit, in chapter 46. And we're going to hopefully see that God is a God of help and comfort. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3.
What chapter?
46. Psalm 46. It says here that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Refuge means shelter, and that strength is a security. And I love that it says in that he's a very present help in trouble. That very present could be translated, it can say well proved. You know, and as we endeavor to look in the Bible, we see that God is well proved. What he said he's going to do, he does it. When he, you know, says he wants to take care of his people, he takes care of his people. And he does it, has done it time and time again. And he does it now, too. So that's pretty cool. So verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's pretty heavy-duty stuff there. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be moved by that. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Salah. Consider those words. And I considered those words, and I looked up in Matthew. You can keep your... We're going to be back in Psalms. So if you want to, keep your finger there. In Matthew chapter 7... And in verse 24, this is a great little couple of verses. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Christ talking, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Remember the mountains falling into the sea and all that stuff? We don't have to fear that. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. So we are endeavoring to do that, have endeavored to do that, and it works out for us. It's a wonderful thing that we can rely on God and His Son. And then in Mark chapter 4, Mark 4, and let's start in verse 35, and this is, again, the travels of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I'll bet they said, like, all right, here we go, what's he got in store for us, you know? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. That's comforting. That's to know that Christ, in the midst of all that, was asleep in a pillow. And it says the ship was full of water. So how he did that, I don't know. But he did. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have not no faith? And we heard a great teaching last week on believing, and how believing is just so wonderful and easy, and how we can have this same thing happen in our lives as we believe God's word. And then I love this, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. Well, that man was a guy who believed that God meant what he said and said what he meant, and then had a purpose for everything he said, where he said, what he said, who he said it, when he said it. Anyway, thought that was a great little description of not having to fear when the storms of life threaten us or, you know, try to take hold of us. We can be like that wonderful Jesus Christ. In Psalm, back to Psalm, chapter 70. Is that off? Thought I heard the music again. Psalm 7. We're going to read this whole psalm, so we'll be here for a while. That's only 5 verses. So. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And from what we heard in manifestations, God wants to take care of us, doesn't he? He wants to give us our heart's desires. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul, and that ashamed is disappointed. Let them be disappointed. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And this is wonderful verses. But I am poor and needy, make haste unto me. I am poor. Poor could mean depressed or afflicted. And when we are like that, God can make haste unto me. O God, thou art my help and deliverer. O Lord, make no tarry. So it's God's desire to help us out quickly. And that's why we need to believe quickly in what he says he will do. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And in verse 17. There it is again. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And I love that word thinketh, because it could mean he's plotting out how to help us. Not even a word, is it? But he plotteth out how to help his people. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Oh my God. Wonderful. In Psalm 94, and then we'll start in verse 17. It says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And that silence is not a good thing. It's like being dumb or in death. So we don't want to do that. We don't want our soul to dwell in silence. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. So instead of dwelling in silence and in dumbness, we can delight ourselves, our thoughts, in his delight, in his comforts. And they're going to delight our soul. They're going to, word delight means joy. And then we know joy is an inside job, right? It's not just being happy, but it's just a fullness inside because of what God is doing for us. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts, his compassion, delighteth my soul. And he can bring us joy. Even in the midst of the most horrible news, the most horrible day, as we keep our thoughts on God, we can have great joy. Psalm 63. You'll notice I didn't go in any order here, so, oh well. And we'll start in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. So is it good to seek God early? My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is what?
Better.
It's better than life. It's God's loving kindness. His sweetness towards us is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So if you want a nice peaceful sleep, think about God instead of all the junk and crap of the world. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And I love this. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. And that followeth hard means that his soul was clinging unto God. And, you know, we do the same. We cling unto God. And he upholds us. He helps us. Psalm 33:16-20. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. So our physical strength, it's okay, but it's not everything, you know? A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear or respect him, upon them that hope in his mercy. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So death and famine are not very good things, right? But as we look to God, he's going to deliver us from those, keep us safe. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So the thing we want to do is we want to wait on God. And then, you know, we saw all those wonderful things about he doesn't want to tarry to help us. He's plotting out how to help his kids all the time. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Pretty cool stuff. And this is another one in Psalm 115. We're going to read 1 through 3. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So it pleases God to, again, we heard it in manifestation, it pleases him to take care of us and to give us what we need. And the word pleased is pretty cool because it means to incline and to bend. And that's what God does when we pray to him, when we go to him. He listens. Not only does he listen, he wants to do stuff. We got a great God. Now we're going to go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read a lot of this because it's wonderful, but we're going to read from 10 to 31. Anybody there? It says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." How comforting is that? God wants to take care of us. He wants to help us and sustain us with whatever it is we need. And then it goes on to say how wonderful and smart God is. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" God, can you measure the water in the hollow of your hand? No, but God can. "And meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in balance." Who can do that? Not me. No man that I know of. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him?" No one, because he already knows everything, God. "With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Question mark. "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth an image, or the workman a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver on chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity." All these great and wonderful people, they're nothing compared to our God. There's no knowledge that no one has knowledge greater than our Father. "Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And she shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall be my equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth." Those are talking about the stars. He knoweth the stars. He knows each one by name. He knows that they're going to do what he wanted them to do. That's pretty wonderful. Verse 27. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? And there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Who else can do something like that? No one. That's how powerful and loving our God is. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, and not be disappointed." That's what happens when we look to God. And in chapter 41, verse 10, it says here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed, disappointed, and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish, wander away. They shall seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that are at war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. So God will just handle all of our woes as we go to him. He'll just keep taking care of us. In Hebrews chapter 13. And 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, who has said? God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So God wants to help us. He wants to keep taking care of us. And then in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 31. This is Mom's favorite verse. Mom, remember this? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? And that's a wonderful thing. In 2 Corinthians, first chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Not just some comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God gives us this, he comforts us with this great comfort that there's nothing else that can comfort like God can. But not only are we comforted, but we can comfort each other when we're going through not so wonderful things. And that word all is the whole, whatsoever, whosoever. So it covers everything. And then in Matthew 11. We'll finish it up there. Matthew 11. This is our wonderful Lord and Savior talking here in 11, verse 28. When we need comforting, we go to God, and he says it right here wonderfully. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, or overburdened, or have spiritual anxiety, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the yoke is easy and the burden is light when we go to God, when we pray to him through his son. That's when our burdens are easy and light. So, anyway, the fog is lifted. Amen.